You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Boy, it's been a theme for a while, you know. One of the things about needing Jesus is the have to come to the realization that we need a Savior, right? That we are sick, right? That's what you have to come to the realization. John Sowers, in his book, Fatherless Generation, he wrote a book that by that title. And he writes, and I quote, "No generation has seen such voluntary father absence as this one, with 25 million kids growing up in a single-parent home." He said, "In my own experience," well, that was Albert Lee said, "in my own experience, if I'd bumped into my father on the street, I wouldn't have known who he was. My parents were divorced when I was very young. All the photos of my dad were burned. So for years, I felt fatherless. And then, at the age of 13, I heard the Lord's Prayer. And I said to myself, you may not have an earthly father, but you now have a God as your heavenly father." And Jesus taught that. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 in the Bible. How to pray, right? Our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Previously, verse 7 says, not to keep on babbling. When praying, we may wonder how these verses are connected. I realize that because God remembers, we don't need to repeat. He truly understands. So we don't need to explain. He has a compassionate heart. So we don't need to be uncertain of his goodness. And because he knows the end from the beginning, we know his timing is perfect. Woo, covers a lot. Because God is our Father, we don't need to use many words to move him through prayer. We're talking with a Father who loves and cares for us and made us his children through Jesus. It's a pretty interesting thought today in a devotional there from Albert Lee. Wow. Moving God in prayer through using many words has a tendency. It's one of those things, many things that we try to slip into. It's a tendency we slip into. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for making us your child and for being a father that welcomes us into your presence through prayer. Amen. Thank you.
The Sound of Life.
Finally got out, and it's good to see the sunshine. It turned out to be a gorgeous afternoon. I mean, as long as you didn't get too much sun, I would imagine, then it would turn out to be. And then this morning, you're running around all red-faced, maybe, something like that. But it felt really good. The contrast, isn't it? That's what makes it. See, if you were like that every day, you know, you believe me. You think I'm making that up. You know, you think I'm going, oh, yeah, sure. Because I've heard people say that. Boy, you could be like this, like every day. This would be great. Not a heat advisory day. I'm talking about a day where the sun was shining and you got some clouds and a nice breeze and you're like 70-ish, you know, and that'd be cool like that every day, you know. It actually happened to Janine here. She's on vacation. And one of the things that she loves to do every year, and she meets her friends there, and she goes to Aruba. Every year, it's right off the coast of South America. It is right there in the weather belt that doesn't change. So she was in an Uber car going back to the airport. She's talking with the driver, you know, where would you like to go on a vacation? He said, oh, man, I'd love to go to Alaska. She's like, what? Excuse me? I'd love to go, you know, just stick my hands in the snow and feel the cold and feel what it's like to be in snow. Never felt that before. She's like, really? You know, you think about, I'm coming here, spending all that money, looking forward to it all year to get away from where I am, to come to paradise, quote unquote, to stay, right? And he wants to leave it. He says, why would you do that? And he said, because tomorrow, he said, today it's 85 and sunny. Tomorrow it's 85 and sunny. And the day after that, it's 85 and sunny. And the day after that, it's 85 and sunny. Here's how I go on. You got to get the idea, right? So then you see where the change is really a blessing. Yes, it is nice to have a nice stretch of weather, but, you know, then it won't take too long. We need the rain, you know. So we have to have that different types of weather. We have to have that. It's really good for us. I hope you can see that, right? Can you say amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. A great way to start your day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
cool would be the word today. Stay cool today. Heat advisory is our hot day of the week, really. We get a little bit cooler every day as we go through, of course. But a hot day, 90 to 95. Right now we're close to 70, if not. Already around the neighborhood. Got a little sun over the weekend. Of course, that was all yesterday afternoon. My wife's like, I am so sick and tired of the rain. So we actually did. And so we're little red-faced people running around, kind of. But it's okay. It feels good. It's all right. I learned that my neighborhood is quite the fireworky neighborhood, which is kind of a good thing. I mean, in a way, it was really kind of cool. I was watching the fireworks from, you know, TV, from the Macy's production of the fireworks and stuff. And then I had to go outside. I was like, and I was summoned, come outside, look here, look at that, you know. And it was like, wow, this is really kind of cool, standing right under him right here. No, no, it was kind of neat. It was a kind of an exciting weekend, it was. I went to the 200th anniversary of the First Baptist Church of Rhinebeck, which was very cool. It's always good to meet people. It's like one of those reunion things where you haven't seen each other in a while. So there's a lot of jokes about where'd your hair go kind of thing, you know, things like that and stuff. It was good to see Pastor Copenall, who he was the one that delivered the message. I guess because he just knew everybody. I've really never known anybody like him, really. And we're kind of special because it was a special way that we met years ago. And I was new here. I lived around the Albany region for at least a couple of years, I guess. Had some friends around there. But, you know, I grew up in church. And so I was kind of, I don't know if you ever had that feeling where you just kind of feel like you're lost and you just kind of want to get drawn back to a church. And I passed that church behind the Northern Dutchess Hospital, which was a client of mine, and I just felt drawn to it. It's really odd. I think now that I think about it, I mean, how many times have you looked at a church and gone, I feel drawn to that church? But I guess if you're looking, you do. But I did. I said, I ought to go in there. I should go there. And I passed it a couple of times, you know, over the weeks. And one day I was at the parking lot of the Baptist home, which was a client. And I got out, nice day, and a man got out of a car that had parked right across the aisle there. And I thought he was a salesman, you know, he is. Oh man, he's smiling from ear to ear and say, hey, how you doing? I say, hi, my name's Joe. He said, my name is John the Baptist. That's why he used to greet. He said, I'm the pastor of the First Baptist Church. And I just knew it was like God going, get over to that church. Anyway, I grew tremendously through all the people that were there. But one of the things that we did, or they did, I didn't know this was really coming, but the message really was God's faithfulness. So he looked back over the years, even 200 years, the founder of the church, an incredible story where he was supposed to end up in Philadelphia, but then ended up in New York and ended up in Dutchess County and ended up working for the Astors and all that. I mean, 200 years ago. No, not the Astors. They weren't even born. The Livingstons. Yeah. See? And met, anyway, it's an incredible history, but then Pastor Copenall knows a lot of the history too. And I thought this would be great for any church to do, whether you're doing a 1-year anniversary or 10-year anniversary or 50 years or 200 years. And there are churches around here, plenty of churches that do over 200 years. And to look at God's faithfulness, mark it out, and look where God has led people and how he's led certain people. It was quite emotional. For a pastor, you know, it really was. And it was really cool. So I thought I should tell you that to maybe spark an idea that, you know, it'd be a really cool thing to do, I think, you know, if you can pull it together, which I'm sure you could. Okay. So that'd be really neat. God's faithfulness. Always neat to go back and look, isn't it? I think the Bible tells us to do that.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Might as well get up, do something.
The Sound of Life.
Her name is Ann Wilson. The song is My Jesus. Matthew West co-wrote that song with her and Jeff Pardo. And it's a pretty cool song. That's why it's gone to Cup of Joe Morning Show. She went through quite a time. I thought you might like to know. Her brother was 23 when he suddenly lost his life. She was 19. She was a singer before, but not in public. And so they convinced her to sing at his funeral, and it was recorded, videoed. And it got around as things like that happened kind of organically, I guess, and the right person saw it. And she, make a long story short, here she is on the radio right there. But that's just kind of a little story right there.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
You make my drive to work so worth having. Thank you for the entertainment, the music, the love, the blessings.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show, the sound of life.
I wanted to read a quote to you because I came across some interesting things. And I had a good time watching fireworks, like right in my own neighborhood. I learned that I came from a fireworky neighborhood, which didn't really remember that last year. Yeah, last year was a bummer, wasn't it? Last year we were all, you know. And this year we were breaking loose. A lot of people saw it as a celebration coming out. And 15 months or something like that of COVID pandemic isolation kind of thing going on. And so I was trying to, I was watching the Macy's on TV. They always do a good job. I tell you who did a good fireworks job was Nashville. I saw a pretty good video of that. I'm trying to think who took that. It was really good. Might have been the drummer for the Newsboys. And they did that. And then Panama City, Florida, the beach is like 20-some miles long. All up and down the beach, they had fireworks where they had gone along and done that. So it's kind of interesting, very creative. I know Albany had fireworks. A lot of places in the Hudson Valley, I don't think, had the fireworks, you know, that we thought they might. There was a little bit of confusion there. But anyway, speaking of fireworks, might start some fireworks right here. Guess who said this? He gave it in a speech on the 4th of July. And in the speech, he said, "We live in an age of science, of abounding accumulation of material things. These did not create our declaration." Our declaration, meaning the Declaration of Independence, our declaration created them. The things of the spirit come first. Unless we cling to that, all our material prosperity, overwhelming though it may appear, will turn to a barren scepter in our grasp. If we are to maintain the great heritage which has been bequeathed to us, we must be like-minded as the fathers who created it. We must not sink into a pagan materialism. That's just part of what he said. You may guess, was that Abraham Lincoln? Sounds kind of like him, doesn't it? Much later than that, actually. That was said by the 30th President of the United States on the 150th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, or July 4th. His name is Calvin Coolidge. He was an interesting man. Much prosperity in the 20s, right? Cut the budget tremendously. And was not very well liked by some people around Washington. He was known as a man of few words, but he said right there, he knew how to talk, didn't he? He articulated the Declaration's most powerful tool, its endless pursuit to promote and uplift the dignity, humility, and liberty of man. That is the key, I think. His commitment to these principles rises above his factional impulses, allowing him to lead a nation on the basis of liberty. So I thought that was pretty cool, and I learned something that I didn't know before, and maybe you did too.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
Abby Watts with iMom was talking about when she was young. She said her parents told her, now you're going to cringe when you hear this probably, but she said, "I needed to lose weight." Her parents did. When I was 11 years old, she said the words were said with love, but they still hit pretty hard. Young girls hold on to single comments like that longer than we should. I can't help but wonder how it shaped who I am today. That's Abby Watts. She said, just like girls, boys internalize the words their parents say to them. And some words have not only hurt boys on an individual basis, but negatively formed an entire generation of young men. Being a man in today's society is difficult in part because of these three words that parents say too often. Now, You're like, I've never done that. I don't doubt that at all. But it's just a thing. And no matter how your kids or maybe your grandkids, you know, maybe six or they may be 16 or whatever it is. But basically, you're telling them to be a man, and then you're giving them a couple of examples that really, if that's what being a man is, then that's why they are in trouble. Okay. And when you see them, you'll understand that. Okay. And a really cool thing to ask your child is, what are the kindest words someone could say to you? That's kind of neat there. Is that, what am I tweeting out today? Beneath the surface, quote, be a man tells boys to disconnect from their emotions, objectify women, and resolve conflicts through violence. Now you see. Okay. And so that's why you have to be careful how you say that when you say that. And imom.com, they got all kinds of cool ideas. They've got that. They don't tell you just what you shouldn't say. They've got ideas for you, too. Compliments for your son. That's pretty neat. I thought it could help you. That's the thing. Maybe I'm talking too much about it. I thought it could help you out. And I'm going to post it on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page just for you. So look for that.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
I can't stop drinking the coffee. I've stopped doing the standing and the walking and the words putting into sentence doing.
The sound of life.
God who said taste and see. One of the things that was fascinating to me is listening to R.C. Sproul do a sermon, really, a message on the Lord's Supper. And talking about, of course, it turned out to be pretty controversial. What actually happens? What is it? All that. In the bottom line, after a lot of fascinating things in there that were going on that day of the Passover in the life of Jesus and the disciples, was the fact that Jesus wants us to feed off of him. And I started thinking about that. And there is a verse in Psalm 34, some people's favorite verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Remember the woman at the well? He said, if you had my water, you would never have to dip your bucket again. And she's like, what do you mean your water? You don't even have a bucket. How are you going to get water? You know, so the idea, you don't live off bread alone. Wow. So Lena Abijammer brings that today. What's the best thing you've ever tasted? Well, today, I'm not, you know, trying to put any ideas into you, but today, on July 7th, actually is World Chocolate Day, just to give you a little bit of an idea. Maybe it's an exotic fruit. Maybe it's chocolate. Maybe it's fruit with chocolate on it. Okay, I'm going a little bit too far. Who doesn't love to taste good stuff? Whether it's a memorable meal or something your mom made over the holidays, you and I, as Lena said, can spend the next 10 years reminiscing over something great we tasted. And God understands the reality of taste so much, because he said that in Psalm 34, verse 8. He used the analogy of taste to remind us of his goodness. He inspired David to write, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Like a great meal, you can't forget. That makes your mouth water, even thinking about it right now. I am. God's goodness is something to yearn for, to dream about, and to experience fully over and over again. The only way to taste God's goodness is by taking refuge in him. That's where true peace is found, in God's presence. It's fullness of joy. Thought from Lena Abijammer this morning. I think she calls them power minutes, because it only takes a minute. As you reminisce over God's ways, how have you tasted of his goodness in this season of life? Wow. Pretty cool stuff, Lena.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rise and shine.
The sound of life.
All right. We've got a company that is tackling a problem. Apparently, if we can just get the hot dog to bun ratio figured out, we in a utopia, right? It's that age-old question that never seems to get a satisfactory answer. Why is the number of hot dogs in a pack 10 and the number of hot dog buns in a bag 8? Why can't we get together? Because it's two different companies and all that stuff. So finally, a company's trying to step in. At least they're trying to do something about it. I don't know if this is good or bad or what. You decide. And I'm not trying to advertise. Everybody knows about Heinz. It's a fascinating history of the company there. But they're hoping to solve the whole packaging problem once and for all, right? So they have announced their new Heinz hot dog pack. That's right. It's a petition, quote, calling on Big Bun and Big Wiener companies to finally sell buns and wieners in even packs. This is the big dilemma this summer. It's a sensible idea, though. For some reason, they're choosing to put the onus on the bun makers, suggesting it should be 10 buns and 10 dogs. If you agree, you can sign a petition. Oh, now they have a petition. HeinzHotDogPack.com is where you can sign the petition. Listen, there ain't ever been a picnic in the summer where you grabbed four packages of buns and four packages of hot dogs and nothing's ever going to come out right. And you got me standing over there because I'm gluten-free trying to keep the mustard from running down my arm and eating a hot dog and all that. So, you know, I can see why most people say, don't worry about it. It's nothing to get excited about, right? Don't ruffle your beach umbrella over this. Believe you me, just let it go because it ain't ever going to work. Even if it was, the ratio was right. It still wouldn't work out right at the picnic, then you know that.
This is all
right?
Some kind of whacked out conspiracy.
The sound of life.
Man, I got the thing for you if you want to get it on the latest celebrity, you know, thing. The latest fashion trend, I should say. You know, when I was a kid, we used to put pennies in our loafers. That was like being radical. Maybe it'll come back full circle. You know, people seeing you go, what, dude? You don't have any tattoos or anything? There's nothing? You don't have any different hair coloring or anything? It's just yourself? Wow, that's radical. Anyway, I don't know what you think about this name of this celebrity, but he's certainly a celebrity. I know I've seen his name around in, you know, celebrity circles and stuff. His name comes up, you know, if he's walking on the beach on vacation, paparazzi got to take a picture of him. His name is Hugh Jackman. He's got really famous for his role in the Wolverine movie, X-Men. Like, he was the mutant warrior Wolverine in X-Men series. But he's also played the part of Leopold in Kate and Leopold and in Les Mis, because I can't say it the whole thing correctly. It's a French say it. He portrayed the redeemed, compassionate Jean Valjean. In reality, Hugh Jackman more resembles Leopold than Wolverine. I'm going to tell you something about him that I thought was fascinating. He grew up in a home where his father found Jesus years earlier at a Billy Graham crusade. He said, I'm a Christian. I used to go to different revival tents when I was about 13. I had a weird premonition that I was going to be on stage like the preachers I saw. With a reputation as a committed husband to his wife of 20 years, who is an actress, and a father to their two adopted children, Hugh Jackman sees his performances as a way of honoring God. And I am quoting him when I say, he said, I'm a religious person. Before I go on stage, I pause and dedicate the performance to God in the sense of allow me to surrender. He said it treats his craft as his personal way of honoring God. Now, here's the thing. There is an upcoming film, and I don't know where this stands. I just got this newsletter, so I'm thinking it's new. It's called Apostle Paul, and it is being produced by Hugh Jackman. Also, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and others. Hugh Jackman is playing the title role of the Apostle Paul. Wow. It may further the opinion of his virtuous character, and he may be appearing to look more and more like the preachers that he saw years ago.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
The sound of life.
So we all know why we go from one thing to the next, right? Because it's human nature. It's a fallen human nature because we're never satisfied at some point with what we have. I mean, never. Isn't it funny to watch kids, and I'm talking about teenagers into your early 20s, get all excited about a new car. It's all flashy and shiny, and it smells good, and it's the latest style and all that. And you, as an old curmudgeon, realize you see it as a bucket of bolts. You know, it's a rust bucket of bolts, because that's what it's going to become. I mean, at some point down the line, that's what it's going to become, it seems like. Okay, I'm being a little harsh and generalizing, but I thought I would kind of lead into the whole idea. The latest relatively bizarre new fashion trend that is being enjoyed by celebrities, of course, at the moment, right? Have you considered bleaching your eyebrows blonde? Probably not. I don't know who thinks of this, but somebody did. And what happens is it looks like they're not there when you do that. You know, I mean, wasn't it just like yesterday that you bought nice dark lashes to put on, you know, and all that? The latest fashion names are in there, the women, you know. Whew, boy, I read something like this, I'm like, thank God I'm a guy. I mean, I can wear a shirt from 20 years ago, and you don't even look at it. I mean, nobody even notices. You know, who cares what my jeans look like? You know, I've got jeans, a khakis on, a polo shirt, and some type of footwear. Nobody cares. And I like it like that. Just a simple guy. I think Jim Gaffigan is kind of a simple guy.
I don't
right?
really need or want anything. I mean, my life is pretty chaotic. I have 5 kids. You know, and I have friends that love stuff. I have a friend who has a drawer of watches. I have another friend who has 5 cars. Whenever I'm with these people, I realize I'm just simple. All I need is a nice bed and a private jet. You know? Now, I have the bed. All I need is the jet.
Right.
And it could be a used jet. I'm not a snob, you know? I mean, I don't want a prop plane. I'm not trash. Just a regular old private jet to take a regular old guy to a regular old private island away from his kids.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm just salt of the earth.
Yeah.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Oh, you look like a man who could use more coffee.
The sound of life.
Heat advisory today again. Yes, okay. You know, 90. It's kind of the way it is. Not nearly as hot tomorrow. I mean, it'll be a warm summer day. And feel good. So it's all about the humidity anyway. Yeah, right. I don't think so. When it's 120 in Phoenix, I'm not thinking it's kind of, you know, like, well, this is really kind of comfortable. There's no humidity. Yeah. Sucking the life out of me pretty fast here. Well, we joke about that, the weather, because we can't do anything about it much. But we do live in a very conditioned place, you know, in a place of comfort and conditioning. Right. We set our thermostat to 70, and that's, you know, it's in the winter and 70, and in summer, 70. I mean, you know, generally, it's pretty amazing. This woman who was kind of shocked to realize that she was in the 1%. You know, she didn't think of herself in the 1%. Now, she was a journalist, and she made a pretty good living. I mean, in this country, she's not in the 1%. Right. So it's OK for her to bash the 1%. When she's in this country. But then someone reminded her that, well, if you look at the world situation, if you make $35,000 a year in the world situation, you're in the 1% of the world. That's unbelievable. I mean, to us, it's unbelievable, right? We don't, you know, people in most countries sitting in the dirt looking at you and your car, you know, you might as well have a Rolls Royce. It didn't matter, you know. If they got a mule to work with, that's, you know, it's a good thing, or a water buffalo or something like that. They make no provisions. I've seen people because my friend Paul was in ministry in Manila in the Philippines, and I so many times pictures and scenes and stuff when typhoons hit there, and I said they don't do anything. He said no. Just keep on going, you know, wading through 2 feet of water. It's nasty, terrible. I'm just saying that most places don't. They just don't have the comfort that we have. And sometimes when I think, because you read articles all the time, what is wrong with the church? I'm being pretty honest here. I mean, I think because we're blessed, and that comes along with it. I mean, we have been incredibly blessed. Even Abraham Lincoln nailed it, and that was in, what, 1863. We have grown as no other nation has. We don't see God's blessing us. We've forgotten the God that has caused this to happen. We don't see that. And so we get very comfortable. And I think that's one of the reasons we have a time. I do. I'm just being kind of honest, you know. Maybe there's – people are always kind of looking at – there's always different ideas, theological ideas, different pastors and such, you know. We need to do this. We know the church needs to do this. Our churches need to be like this and things. And I think individually we're really very comfortable. And that always, you know, and happened to Israelites. God would bless them. They would just be destitute, on the verge, on the brink. And, of course, they would repent and come back to God. And God would bless them. The crops would grow, and they would be, you know, doing well. They're very blessed. And then here we go. You know what I thought? Why does God do that? I don't know. It's a very eternal question, something like that. So if you wonder today, if there's something, you know, you're a guy and you're kind of taking it easy and you got nothing going on in your mind, at a certain point, maybe you want to contemplate that. Why does God bless us knowing that we'll become comfortable and forget where the blessing came from? I don't know.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
The day of the National Spelling Bee. I knew you were waiting for that. It's coming up. They didn't have it last year, so it was really a big deal they have it this year. Now, the regional competition was done in virtual style. I was a little nervous at first. I saw them like all on Zoom, and I thought, what? They're doing it? But they're going to be in person. The 11 finalists will be in person in Orlando. They have a sports center there. Disney does. So they have it at the sports center. I think it's interesting that the spelling bee has been taken over recently by ESPN. And Wide World of Sports Complex at Walt Disney World is where they have it. And if you've ever seen it, it's about that tough a competition. It really is. They trained for months to be able to do this. You know, it's just like any other sport. When you're a world-class swimmer, you didn't get there by just recreational swimming, you know, in the summer in your pool in the backyard. No, and no sport is like that. Incredible training. But and, of course, they're all young and stuff, and you 11 spellers competing for the title this year. So that's a pretty well-known thing. You get noticed for about a day, I do believe. And I have to say congratulations to Bahavana Madini, who was 13, from New York. And I'm thinking that's New York City, but because others are listed in the city and the state that they're from, you know, or the city, if you know the state. So I'm thinking that's New York City, Bahavana Madini. You root for Bahavana Madini, 13 years old. All right, so everybody's really excited about that. And I'm really excited because I do every year when the spelling bee comes around, I go, oh, I know a word that won the spelling bee. I know how to spell it. And if you know how to spell it, of course, if you know how to spell it, it's easy. You know, but if you don't, it's very confusing. But the word, you ready for this? It's not, I mean, most of the words nowadays, I can't even pronounce. But the word is ukulele. Ukulele. Yeah. U-K-U-L-E-L-E.
To infinity, yeah, and beyond.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
I've got a smile on my face and a twinkle in my eye.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The sound of life.
Going to the beach this summer. Maybe you are in the process of it. I know July is a big, historically a big time to go. Maybe August, right? Here's what I want you to do. Wait till your kids are just about finished with that sandcastle and say, hey, kids, I learned something. Yeah, that sand is made up of fish poo. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your breakfast already. Which is actually true technically. And I remember years ago watching a video of fish, and it's this, is I guarantee it's this parrot fish. I love studying things on the in the ocean, and it's very exciting because we don't know a lot, Steve, and it's very evolution. What am I trying to say? I can't think of what it almost disproves evolution. It's almost like, how in the world did that evolve? Okay, so the parrotfish is pretty amazing. And I was watching a video of this thing take in sand in its mouth, and well, you know, it goes out in the back, in the appropriate place in the back. But the thing is, it's clean. When it goes out, it's clean. So it goes along taking it up. The parrotfish has some of the strongest teeth in the world. What they do is they chow down on the coral in the ocean, and they excrete the hard stuff as sand. It comes out, and it's clean. I mean, you don't think of that process as being clean, but it is. And they clean it. And I thought that was really cool. The parrotfish. And they're really cool looking, too. And they can produce about 1,000 pounds of clean sand every year. Now, kids, you just learned something that's absolutely amazing scientifically, that when I was growing up, I never had an opportunity because, you know.
That's why I decided early on to sabotage my highly scientific mind with cartoons and sugar.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
The headline today, just saw it fresh, scrolling by. American men suffer a friendship recession. A lot of it is because of the circumstances over the last couple of years, things like that. But they say it's at an all-time low. I know men, males, boys, men need friendships. And let's bring in Promise Keepers right now. Coming back, maybe we can work on that, right? And their chairman, Ken Harrison, yay! Right here on Cup of Joe Morning Show. I had an opportunity to talk to him. Ken, you're busy now.
Man, is it busy, but it's a good busy. I mean, it's always an awesome busy when you know that you're making a difference in the world.
You were, I guess, busy cultivating your own, foundation and business and things at the time, or were you part of that, Promise Keepers?
I was not part of any of that.
Okay.
And in fact, I had left the Los Angeles Police Department in the 90s. So while Promise Keepers was going on, I was an LA cop. So then after the LAPD, I got successful in business and retired at the old age of 45. And the Lord called me back. I got involved with Waterstone, the foundation. It was going phenomenal. And then Promise Keepers came along, and I didn't want anything to do with it. When it first came along in Raleigh, Washington, wanted to make me the chairman. I was like, no way. And the Lord got a hold of me in a really good way and said, yeah, way. This is what I have for you. And so it's been an incredible amount of work. But, man, it's about to pay off. You see the need out there. The amount of women I've had write letters talking about how their husbands were transformed,
right,
how their fathers were transformed at the old Promise Keepers, and how they're so grateful to come back. It makes it all worthwhile.
Going to be a big time coming up in Dallas, AT&T Stadium, July 16th and 17th. Now, you can go physically if you would like to go and be part of that crowd there, or you can go virtually. I'm about to give you the PromiseKeepersEvent.com. Well, I just did right there. But to tell you that via simulcast, into homes, maybe yours, small groups, churches, military installations, colleges, Salvation Army centers, and colleges even. So, let me give you the web address there. You can check it out. It's going to be awesome. Gateway Worship Band, Cody Carnes. That's, she's affiliated with, you know. Anyway, Taryn Wells, going to be music there as well, too. Jonathan Evans, Reggie Debs is the MC. Don't want to go into all that, you know, about Promise Keepers. If you didn't get in on it in the 90s, then check out the website and maybe you sign up. Maybe you want to do that for your church. Get the guys together. PromiseKeepersEvent.com. And, of course, that's coming up not this weekend, but the next weekend, 16th and 17th. PromiseKeepersEvent.com. Just letting you know what's going on here at the Sound of Life. Yeah.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Good morning, sunshine.
The Sound of Life.
I got to say, congratulations. The Stanley Cup is awarded every year to the champion NHL, National Hockey League team, that goes through all the process and everything and wins. And this year, it goes to the Tampa Bay Lightning, yes, appropriately named. Right? And so they defeated the Montreal Canadiens. I'm sure it's a storied Canadian hockey team. They almost swept them. They beat them in five games. And last year, of course, it was done all, I don't know how they did it last year. Nobody saw. It was done in front of their audience. They hoisted up the cup, if you will. They lifted up old Stanley's cup right in front of their fans in Tampa. It was really a pretty cool thing. And it's interesting, isn't it? Tampa. Did you ever think that? If you're an old school hockey fan, you think about the teams in Tampa and Phoenix. And one time I was chit-chatting with Sam Mason, who worked here. Wonderful voice man, worked here from the Pittsburgh area. He was a pretty big hockey fan. And I said, Sam, I'm just realizing that teams were not only here in the United States, of course, hockey teams, but they're moving out south, out west. I said, did the Canadians, are they upset because teams are going to Tampa and Phoenix and stuff? And he said, the Canadians got upset when they came over the border to Detroit.
So. I say, cut that out. What's it all about, boy? Elucidate.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
The Sound of Life.
Maybe the vacation time is now, right? It's a big time to go on vacation. July, August, of course. Looking at things around the ocean. We already talked about the poop in the sand. Well, I mean, it's from the fish, the parrotfish. They eat the sand. They eat the nutrients off the sand and stuff. They bite it down and the coral. And then it comes out, you know, as it does. But it's clean when it comes out. It's really cool. And I thought, wow, how does something like that? See, that's what you've got to wonder. I don't like these people that just, like, throw it out. Well, that's like 200 million years of evolution right there. That's how it happened. Explain yourself to me. How did things like that come about? It just seems like they're specially created to me. To me, it does. You know, one of my favorites is called the pistol shrimp. I hope your kids don't run into the pistol shrimp, or he has enough, you know, to know that you're a child and, you know, not to snap at you, because the pistol shrimp has one special claw. You know what a shrimp looks like. They're kind of like little tiny lobsters, but they got this one special claw that, man, if that thing bites down on you, it's designed to just break through the prey, really. It stuns their prey, and it's very, very loud, like 120 to 140 decibels that this thing, it's like a jet engine taking off. From this little creature, from a shrimp. And it looks like something's wrong with it. You know, first thing you would think of when you saw it, you would go, well, something's wrong with that dude. What happened? What's he? He's been working out with Arnold Schwarzenegger, weights only on one side or something. And that's what it is, because I believe that it was specially designed to be able to get prey, you know. Who knows what happened after the fall? I don't know how animals were created before that, you know, and all that goes into that. But I'm just saying, it just looks like, you know, I always make fun. It's like, yeah, you know, back about 100 million years ago, you know, you had Bob and Earl sitting there, and they were like, dude, Earl, we got to do something, man, because if we don't, we're going to starve to death. We're going to have to do something to be able to catch prey. I know, we'll start working out and come up with a big... If we can come up with this one big claw on us.
You got serious thrill issues, dude.
The Sound of Life.
I think following God, what God says, requires us to see things differently. People have different names for it. Reframing is a big thing. I've heard people get upset. You got to remember, different people from different backgrounds and beliefs use the same terminology a lot of times and do the same things. It doesn't mean it's wrong with it. But it was an example of really reframing or looking at an old subject from a new perspective is one that you're not likely going to have today, which is why I bring it up. And it involves the sun shining. It involves the sun shining. Your shadow. Next time it's really brilliant and bright out like we have here and you've got amazing shadow this time of the day, look at your shadow. Did you know that your shadow is confirmation that light has traveled nearly 93 million miles unobstructed, only to be deprived of reaching the ground in the last few feet thanks to you.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are.
The Sound of Life.
I don't want to know if you can relate to me or is it just me. When you go to look up, because I'm looking up a really cool article, I just found out who won the spelling bee, and it's very inspirational. Yes, it is. First time ever an African-American won the Scripps spelling bee. Okay? And what an inspiration she is and will be to kids all over this country who are thinking, wow, you know, it's not a place for me. I can never make it there. And here she is and pulled it off. It's pretty incredible. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about that. And I was looking up, you know, you have to look it up on ESPN because that's who does the spelling bee. And they should. I mean, she practices 7 hours a day. She does. And that's her hobby. She's a basketball prodigy. She wants to go into the WNBA or even someday be an NBA coach. There, I'm telling you all this stuff about her. It's pretty amazing. I was looking up the article this morning, and I left it. You know, I pulled up the article. Oh, okay, good. And I come back, and there's some game playing somewhere on my computer. There's an announcer. Hey, Bobby's up, and he's hit a home run. Can you play that? And all this. I have no idea what's going on. I can't see it. All I could do is hear it. I don't know if anything like that has ever happened to you, or is it just me? I don't know.
This is all some kind of whacked out conspiracy.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
It's time for me to say congratulations. I just think about those times. You think along with me. Let's go back to those days where you had to be called up to the front of the class and you were standing up there doing something. Thank God most of the time I remember with my back to the class. Of course, maybe that's worse because now you've got all these visions of, you know, faces and people making faces at you and sticking their tongue out and things like that while you're trying to solve some math problem. That's like the last place you want to be when you're just about any age in school. I don't care if it's fifth grade, 11th grade, whatever it is, you're in front of your peers. Wow, it takes something really special. I can't even imagine what this 14-year-old from Harvey, Louisiana must have been thinking, going through her mind, knowing that she was a matter of a few words away from becoming the first ever to be able to do something. And on a national, international scale. It's absolutely incredible. So congratulations to Zayla Avant-Garde, who won the spelling bee yesterday. Yes, yay! Indeed. Yay! She knew she would be the first African-American winner of the bee. She knew black kids around the country were watching Thursday night on ESPN2 telecast, waiting to be inspired and hoping to follow in the footsteps of someone who looked like them. Wow. 14 years old. The word is Maraya, I believe it is. That is, it's M-U-R-R-A-Y-A. Seems pretty simple when you see it. It's a tropical, it's a genus of a tropical tree. That's all I got. Okay, it doesn't matter what it is, but she did it. Now, it's interesting because Magnolia Cox was a finalist in 1936, black finalist. She was not allowed to stay at the same hotel that the rest of the spellers stayed in 1936, which was pretty common for athletes, musicians. And now they own the hotel. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, you know, that's coming down the road. And now they own the spelling bee as a 14-year-old. She... her win breaks a streak of at least one Indian American champion every year since 2008. She is also, this is the thing that's crazy about this young lady, Zayla. This is her hobby, is the spelling. She only practices this 7 hours a day. 7 hours a day she does this. That's why I have a hard time with the word Poughkeepsie, because I don't practice at all. Okay, no, I'm sorry. She is a basketball prodigy. She owns 3 Guinness World Records for dribbling multiple basketballs simultaneously, hopes to one day play in the WNBA or even coach in the NBA. Why not? Right? She's the first. She's already done that. She described the spelling bee as a side hobby, even though she routinely practices for 7 hours a day. And she only started this. Most coaches will tell you that you have to start when you're in kindergarten, spelling and doing this. Imagine that. That's just interesting, isn't it, that what you have to do. But her father was watching the spelling bee a few years ago and saw the process and said, you know, she does complicated math problems in her head. I bet she would be pretty good at that, and got her into that. So that was really pretty cool. I have to give a shout out to Bahavana Madini. I mentioned her yesterday. She's 13-year-old. She's actually from Plainview, New York. I think somebody made a mistake. They just said she was from New York, and I assumed it was New York City. Plainview, New York, Bahavana Maldini finished third. Yes, she might be back as well, too. So congratulations right there. So really cool. Those with extraordinary gifts doing well. Was it God's providence? You know, yet to be seen.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
I can't imagine traveling to school every day without it. It helps me in my prayer over our school and our students and teachers. So thank you for all that you do.
The Sound of Life.
Oh, it is time. It's time for satire, absolutely, and that means I am moving into a very dangerous area, because if there's anything Christianity is known for, it's being on the cutting edge of, well, music, pop culture, and fashion. That's right. For hundreds of years, people have looked to Christianity for guidance in everything that's cool. All right. So, satire, you know, that's the comedy that really hits you in the gut with truth. It's kind of the way it is. And we're going to take a look back at the coolest and most iconic fashion choices ever. Well, we're going to try anyway. You know, and you've been there. Not me, because I would never wear a floor length denim skirt. No, that's the modest classic right there. Okay, and just moving right along from that, there's that John the Baptist camel hair robe and sandal combo. You'll never be as cool as this ancient street preacher who lived in the woods and ate bugs. He didn't fall prey to consumer trends. No, he made his own clothes. That's right, man. Maybe some people want us to get back to that. And then there's the homeschooler bowl cut. You know what I'm talking about. When you're a busy mom with 12 kids, you don't have the same time or money to get haircuts for everybody. You just stick a bowl on their heads and snip everything below it. And it's a timeless look as well, too. Hey, if Tim Hawkins can pick on homeschoolers right there in public, then I guess I can get in trouble for doing the same thing, too. Oh, I love this. There's that Hebrew tattoo that you forgot the meaning of. It's been 10 years since you took Hebrew at Bible school. Maybe it means I Adonai, hopefully. Spirit, warrior, maybe, whatever. It looks cool, and that is what matters, doesn't it? Absolutely. Loving that right there. My favorite, just skip to the favorite, the deep V with skinny jeans. There you go. Now we're talking. Bring it a little up to date right now. The look that just screams relevant. Yeah. With a couple of trips to the teen boy section at Target, that look can be pulled off by any youth pastor looking to connect with his fellow kids. Youth pastor's one thing. 70-year-old evangelist is another, and I love you very much. I absolutely do. And if you want to do the skinny jeans, fine, but please, please, for the love of all that is good and holy, stay away from the white skinny jeans. Please.
That's just not right.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.